Hi, everyone, and welcome into Texans Huddle, coming to you from the Go Texan Team Store here at Reliance Stadium. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about this week. We finally got to see the rookies.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, I love the rookies showing up. It means the season is almost here, not close enough. But being here in the Go Texan Store, you get the feel of the jerseys and everything. You just feel like football.
And new jerseys. Look,
Clowney
jerseys here.
He's already here. We got to get some of the other rookies. He's going too, but some of the vets, you know, they don't all have them, so there's a great selection here. You got to try it all out. But the main thing is rookies on Texans campus, and boy, were they baptized quickly.
Yeah, they absolutely were. And you know, there's kind of a, I don't know, we call it the O'Brien effect. Yeah. We really started to see kind of a lot of his, I don't know if tactics is the right word, methods maybe, and go ahead and kind of take us through some of those from the locker room right out to the field.
Well, Patty, you were there. You know, in the Texans locker room, when we first met the rookies, there was what's called an availability. You can meet with the rookies, interview them. It was almost like, and I think this is exactly what happened, O'Brien talked to every single one of them and said, you have not made this football team. Temporary lockers in the middle of the locker room, Tom Savage, sharing a locker. This is the quarterback you drafted sharing a locker. And these are metal high school type lockers and everything. And it's almost as if Bill O'Brien took the Men in Black pen and erased their memory, because the past doesn't matter. It's the year zero and you have to try to make this football team. And that's what he got, a good performance out of these guys on Friday and on Saturday. He talked about it at the podium.
I really think it's a good group. It's a group that gets up early, comes to work so far. You know, it's only been really one day. It's a group that seems to pay attention. It's a group that seems to stay focused. It's a group that's willing to work hard. It seems to be a group of guys that are coming together, learning each other's names and learning how we do things here in Houston. And so, so far, so good.
Well, Mark, overall, it's clear that he's pretty happy with the guys he's got out on the field. And it'd be interesting to be in the heads of these guys to see what they think of O'Brien.
Oh, Patty, you know that the intensity is rubbing off on them already. But it was so great to see Jadeveon Clowney in a Texans uniform and see him move around with that athletic ability. C.J. Fedorowicz, the tight end they drafted top of the third round. My goodness, the largest pass-catching tight end threat this team has ever seen at 6'5", 265. Savage throwing the football, throws a hard, heavy ball. This is going to be fun to watch these guys develop. And they got to get up to speed quickly here because they are needed to help turn this team around.
Well, and as we mentioned, we had a chance to talk to them. And while some of these sound bites may seem a little, oh, I don't know, what's the word? Vanilla, blasé?
Careful.
Careful. Mm-hmm. All part of the Bill Bryan effect.
You just want to get in here. You want to get started. And the whole draft process is behind us. And so now we're just here to work and find a job.
Is it overwhelming at all so far?
No, not really. I think it's, you just got to take it for what it is. And like I said, just go out there and compete and go to work.
I'm just glad I'm here in Houston. I'm working hard on the field, you know, trying to be the best that I can be and trying to be coachable. So.
I think they're very, you know, business-oriented, but the biggest thing with Coach O'Brien is put the team first. You know, and I think that's great, you know, getting to know your teammates and trying our best, you know, to help each other and learn together. You know, because we got to be successful, you know, in our rookie camp. This is our group. So, you know, just that's the thing I've noticed about them. They, you know, they want team first and they want execution. They want it done their way.
It's been, you know, the experience everybody talks about, just trying to get better, trying to learn, and just, you know, be a good teammate and learn the life of an NFL football player.
You know, I'm not officially on the team. You know, I'm still at the point where I'm trying to, you know, get on the team and get a spot. So, you know, at this point, I'm just trying to work hard and be a good teammate at this point.
Coach was saying his message to all the rookies was come in, you know, keep your mouth shut and just learn. That's what he's saying, but I mean,
keep your mouth shut and learn. And, but I mean, we don't know what we think we know, basically. We're here to learn. We haven't been here before. We got a lot of vets, and hats off to them guys. They've been here, so really learn from them and take it all in.
Well, Mark, as we said, some careful and vanilla maybe answers, but clearly this team, these players, this coaching staff, everyone moving in one solid direction.
And there's a lot of teaching to do here. You know, you see this coaching staff, not only do they have to get these guys assimilated into the way they practice, they have to instruct them to take them from where they were at the collegiate level to the next level. And it's fun to watch these coaches operate. Bill O'Brien is so intense on the practice field. He's entertaining just to watch him. You know, he's there with the towel and everything. That towel, by the way. watch out. If the Texans start winning again, and we presume
why
they will.
Why the nasty green color?
I don't know,
pick
but
a
it's,
nice polka dot one, like a Guy Lewis towel, but no, it's like old green towel from the 70s.
It's going to be a thing. Fans are going to come to the stadium wearing their towels. You just watch. It'll be a Texans thing. But it's fun to watch him, his staff members. You're seeing a different dimension out there. And when OTAs get rolling next week, it's going to go up to another level.
All right, we've got to take our first time out, but don't go away. When we come back, our draft expert, John Harris, will break down these guys individually. Stay with us. Welcome back to the show. Joining me now, John Harris, our expert when it comes down to breaking these guys down individually. And, you know, we've kind of talked about first impressions here of this rookie camp, but kind of, like I said, break it down for us individually. Who stood out, kind of who didn't, who needs work, what did you like, what did you not like?
Well, it's always interesting to see these guys after years and months of watching them on tape and on television, to see them up close and personal. And then you get in a locker room and you see they got middle school lockers in the middle of the locker room, which I think is great. But seeing them on the field, you just get such a feel for how they move, for a quarterback, how he throws. And in fact, there's only one quarterback, Tom Savage, here, so he's the only guy we got to see throw. But you see receivers run routes and how smooth they are catching the football out of their breaks. You see all the athletic things that, you know, sometimes get lost in TV. So that was the best part of seeing, okay, how these guys can actually fit, how they pick up the system. And then, of course, how these coaches end up coaching them and how different they'll coach rookies as opposed to coaching veterans. So all of that, kind of 2 days of practice, getting a chance to see them was pretty cool.
Well, in all eyes, both locally and nationally, on Jadeveon Clowney. Just what did you see from him? Did he shine like he was expected to? And just kind of just break him down for us.
Well, I think from a defensive perspective, sometimes when you don't see the pads on, it's hard to get a gauge on, okay, how good is that guy going to actually be? You know, fullback Jay Prosh, how good do we know Jay's going to be? You didn't see him with pads on. But you can see the athleticism. But for Clowney, you can see him move, and you can see him cover ground, and he would drop in coverage. And he would get to a running back that was 5 yards away in 2 steps. You can see athleticism. And anybody that had questions about him playing outside linebacker, those were answered in just 2 days, just seeing how well he moves and how good he is actually with his technique. He's a lot better with his technique, I think, than maybe some thought he would be. And then, of course, Mike Vrabel coaching him, I think, is going to be the best thing that happened to both Whitney Mercilus and Jadeveon Clowney. But it was good to see Clowney move, and I thought that his athleticism really shined, as it should, in shorts and T-shirt. I think it really shined this weekend, and that's what we all wanted to see from the number one pick.
Well, one guy who did look athletic to me and who definitely stood out, shorts, T-shirt or not, he was huge. Probably maybe the only guy that's ever come in bigger than advertised, and that was C.J. Fedorowicz. Just your thoughts on him and what an athletic specimen he's turning out to be.
You know, it's interesting because I saw Fedorowicz play a number of times at Iowa and was a big fan, but the NFL has changed so often that you don't see those type of tight ends. You don't see the traditional Y tight end, the guy that puts his hand in the dirt and blocks. And you weren't the only one. I had 3 people at a minimum come up to me and say how big Fedorowicz is, but then you watch him move and you watch his blocking technique and you realize this guy is the most complete tight end that's come out of this draft class and maybe out of the last few draft classes. Even guys that went in ahead of him, Austin Seferian Jenkins, they don't block this way. They're not this size. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this offensive staff incorporates Fedorowicz into the game plan, because he can put his hand in the ground and he can block next to Dwayne Brown or whoever the right tackle is going to be. But then you can move him and motion him and play him with Zach Potter if Potter makes the roster, where you can have 2 big tight ends and really run the football behind those 2. I think Fedorowicz made a huge splash at camp from size, hands, technique, everything that you want in a tight end, a traditional tight end like we know it to be. That's the guy you see in C.J. Fedorowicz.
Well, and 2 other guys, when you mentioned huge on both sides of the ball, our number 2 and our number 4 pick, really putting some beef up there on the line.
Well, there's no question. Xavier Sofilo, and I know I get in trouble sometimes for this because you have to if you're a draft expert, but you recognize bodies. From the waist down, Xavier Sofilo is as big as anybody I've seen. I mean, just a complete and total specimen. And I think he's going to be really fun to watch as a guard. There's no doubt about that. He's going to be fun to watch sitting right there next to Dwayne Brown. I would anticipate. He could play right tackle. We'll see how the competition goes. But I would anticipate him being at left guard. But then the 4th-round pick, Tom Savage. It didn't take long. He went over to a side field, and he's throwing the ball with George Gotts. He was the only quarterback here, and I believe that was by design. He was the only quarterback to throw the ball all weekend. And you could see from the first throw, just playing catch with George Godsey, it kind of caught you aback, because if you've been watching Houston Texans football since its inception, then you realize he's got the best arm this place has ever seen. And you saw that throughout the minicamp. His arm is off the chart strong. I mean, he can make throws no other quarterback that stepped in this building could ever make, and that's going to be really exciting. How does he progress with the playbook? How does he progress, you know, with the execution of the game plan? Those are all questions he's going to have to answer, and until he's ready to handle those, the arm won't matter. It'll be Ryan Fitzpatrick's job until Tom Savage has all of that down. Then when he does, you're going to see throws in Reliant Stadium, NRG Stadium, that you haven't seen for a long time, if ever.
Well, he had a few questions to answer from me because I had a chance to go one-on-one and catch up with him on his very first day.
Hey, Tom, kind of your first day here in the Houston Texans locker room. I know it's early on, but just sort of your impressions so far.
It's exciting. I'm excited to start getting to work, and actually just got started, so I'm ready to go.
Can you kind of take us through what, when you got the call and knew you were going to be a Houston Texan, what that was like for you, kind of who you got the call from and what your reaction was?
I mean, I was ecstatic. I was blessed with another opportunity to play this game, and I'm excited to learn from Coach O'Brien and Coach Godsey and all the quarterbacks here, and it's an exciting process.
What are your strengths? What do you bring to this Houston Texans team?
I think toughness. I think ability to learn, and that's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to learn as much as I can and just be a good teammate.
You know, you talked about on the conference call after the draft about having the 1,000-plus days off. What do you think, from a positive standpoint, how that benefited you? What did you learn, and how does that translate?
Just how to meet people quick. I mean, I think learning different systems and stuff, and I think that all will translate into the NFL. And I'm excited to get going. I know college is in the past, so I'm a Texan now, and I'm ready to go.
We talk so much about football. Tell us a little bit about what you like to do off the field.
I'm a pretty basic guy. I mean, I like to fish and hunt a little bit, but other than that, just right now there is no off the field stuff. I'm going to be diving in that playbook all off season, so I'm excited to learn it.
All right, good luck. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can't wait to see what this guy does for the Houston Texans. But John, the draft picks weren't the only guys out there at this rookie camp this week.
Yeah, absolutely. There were some guys that made an impact, guys that were signed as undrafted free agents, and a couple of guys that were here only for a tryout. In fact, two of them ended up making the roster, Julius Wormsley from Tulane, a defensive lineman, and also Colton Bester from Oklahoma. And it's interesting about Bester. I actually was watching a tape for a couple of his Oklahoma teammates a few weeks prior to the draft, and I saw Bester make a bunch of plays and thought, man, this guy's going to make for a nice draft pick somewhere. And then he doesn't get drafted, and then he doesn't even get signed. But he came to camp and came to rookie minicamp and really shined and got a contract, and he'll be able to come to camp one of 11 receivers. But still, there's opportunity there, and he made that opportunity for himself. He had a really great week, but Colton Bester did. And I thought another receiver, Patty, that looked great was Easy Wachiku, formerly of A&M, was on last year's practice squad, given the opportunity to come to minicamp, really shined, caught everything, whether it was down at his feet, above his head, across the middle, deep, wherever. I thought Easy looked really good. So a couple of receivers, Colton Bester getting a contract from the Texans, and then Easy Wachiku taking advantage of being, you know, on the practice squad and then coming into camp and looking really good. I thought he looked great, and it's going to be good to see those guys compete. One of 11, but look, opportunities there to even make the practice squad and live on.
Yeah, well, and plenty of success stories in the NFL with guys who weren't drafted that came in. Arian Foster right here on the Houston Texans as an example. But there was one kid that I found very interesting, especially to talk to after the fact, and that was Max Bulla.
Yeah, Max Bulla, Michigan State linebacker, shocked. Completely and fully shocked that he didn't get drafted. I thought it was a miss by all 32 teams and was so glad that he got here to Houston. And I talked about it with him during Saturday's media session, kind of away from everybody so we could have a chance to talk unfiltered. And he said, you know what, there's opportunity here. And he's not wrong. There is opportunity. And whether it's as a first down linebacker or a first and second down linebacker, he's got opportunity. He led that Michigan State defense the last 4 years. He's bled green and white, and now he gets to bleed, you know, blue, red, and white here in Houston. I think he's got a great opportunity not only to make the roster, but to really push for playing time as that 250-pound thumper that this team is really looking for in the middle next to a healthy Brian Cushing.
Well, and he's got the lineage, both his father, his grandfather, his uncle, all with a history, and we had a chance to catch up.
I mean, everything's been good since I've been here. You know, it's been an exciting experience for me. It's something I've wanted to do since I was a little kid, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. The coaching staff, obviously, is a great coaching staff. Guys have a lot of experience, and the people I've been playing with, the teammates, obviously, they're great. They've been through similar things as I have. It's just cool when you get to this part of the process. Is guys have been through the same things. You know, guys have been through high school, college, and now we're all kind of moving forward.
Max, how humbling was it for you after the success you had, you know, in the Big Ten to go undrafted?
You know, to be honest with you, it's not about how I got here. It's not about what I did in college. It's not about any of that, because none of that matters for any of us now. You know, whether you're me or anyone else, what's important now is I'm in Houston. I'm doing things that, you know, that I think are positive to move myself and this team forward, and trying to implement myself in this program the best way I can.
And John, one more guy real quick before I let you go. I had a chance to talk to Rick Smith about him, and that's Alfred Blue. Rick is very high on him and thinks this kid has a lot of potential.
Man, he's got a ton of potential and not a lot of tread off the tire. He only carried the ball 71 times at LSU because Jeremy Hill was the bona fide starter there. But when you saw him in camp, the nice thing for him, there were another running backs in minicamp. One got hurt. He was the only guy. So he got every single rep. He heard every single play in the huddle, caught the ball very well out of the backfield. His speed, his quickness, and burst to and through the hole, I thought was very impressive. I wouldn't be surprised if Alfred Blue is really going to push, not only for special teams time, but push Andre Brown and push Arian Foster to get some touches this year. It'll be really fun to see what he's able to do. But 6'2", 220, he's got the athleticism. Now he just needs opportunity.
Absolutely. All right, great stuff. Thank you so much. Don't go away. We have to take a time out here on Texans Huddle. But when we come back, Mark Vandermeer will be right back here beside me. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. As we all know by now, Andre Johnson was a no-show at these first voluntary workouts, Mark, but he's certainly never a no-show when it comes to the community.
Well, Patty, there's no question. Andre Johnson has donated so much money to the Andre Johnson Foundation to the Houston community, and the Houston Women's Center was the latest beneficiary of a $30,000 check earned from his golf tournament this offseason.
Since 1977, the Houston Area Women's Center has helped individuals affected by domestic and sexual violence in their efforts to move their lives forward. We provide shelter, counseling, and advocacy to support them in building lives free from the effects of the violence that they've experienced. And when fine citizens of our community like Andre Johnson step up and lend their support, it really does send that message that they are not alone.
It's always good. You know, this is not my first time, you know, working with the Women's Center. I worked with them a few years back. So, I mean, it's all in fun. You know, we had a great time out on the golf course. A lot of my teammates came out and participated, and you know, we had a great turnout, and we were able to, you know, give back to them. So.
Well, Mark, never any doubt what Andre does, not only for his team, but his community. I mean, just kind of one of those all-around good guys, and people cutting him a lot of slack because of that. But kind of give us the updates and your thoughts on where the Andre Johnson situation is right now.
Well, he's not participating. Bill O'Brien said that any interaction between he and Andre Johnson has been positive. So I think the coach is taking a wait-and-see approach with this, Patty. The other thing is, while Andre's not here, that does mean more reps for guys like DeAndre Hopkins, Devere Posey, and Keyshawn Martin, you know, to try to further ingrain themselves with this new coaching staff. I think Andre will be able to catch up quickly. Now, how this gets resolved, I don't know, because in that same press gathering where he gave the $30,000 check, he said, I have a decision to make. I have to decide if this is the right place for me and that kind of thing. Look, he doesn't hold all the cards here. He's under contract for 3 more years. I think somehow it gets resolved. He remains a Texan and will enjoy his work in 2014. You can understand some frustration. Look, he's played for the team. This is his 12th year he's going into, and they've had 3 winning seasons. They've had 5 non-losing seasons. It could have been better, but he knows it's tough to start over. They were 2-14, new staff, new quarterback, all of that. But I still think somehow this gets resolved with Andre Johnson and Deep Steel Blue.
I could not agree with you more, and hopefully that is the case. We do have to take another time out here on Texans Huddle, though, but don't go away. When we come back, another one of Andre's teammates who's also very active in the community had his annual softball game, J.J. Watt. We've got the highlights and the lowlights. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Well, Mark, summer is upon us. Mm-hmm. We've got the rookie camp in the books. What's next for the Texans as far as OTAs, mini camps, practices, training camp?
Well, you said it, OTAs, Patty, and I'm pumped up for OTAs. I mean, we're going to see Tom Savage and these rookies mixing it up with the veterans. I can't wait for 7-on-7, 11-on-11, see how Clowney looks, dropping him in pass coverage, how he looks against some of the other guys. I mean, you're going to see actual competition here, and it's going to be really important, like we said earlier, for the rookies to get up to speed fast. So I'm eager to see this play out. Then they'll do a mandatory mini camp at the end of all of it, then have a 4-week break before training camp.
Well, and as we said, it's summer, and I don't know if you remember, but I know we remember last summer we took the show on the road a little bit.
Yes, we did. We
went to the zoo. We went to the food bank. Had a lot of fun with that. So we're going to let you, the fans, maybe kind of give us some suggestions and maybe decide where to take Houston Texans Huddle on the road this summer. So, Mark, we're looking to the fans to give us some suggestions.
Texans Huddle Summer. That's the hashtag. And give us some location suggestions. You said it. We had the zoo last year. We'll probably go back again this year. Nothing too dangerous for us, okay? No skydiving, nothing like that. But just give us some ideas. We might use yours.
I'm thinking maybe the Bluebell Ice Cream Factory in Brenham. How about there?
I like that. I'll do a swan dive into a container of chocolate chip mint.
All right, that's all the time we have for this week's show. But as promised, we leave you with some of the highlights and lowlights from J.J. Watt's charity softball game.